over the past few weeks, watching the rise and fall of the stock market has actually given me a sore neck. Stocks will drop by 3%, they'll bounce up by 4%, and then it starts all over again the next day.
The stock market has just closed, and there has been a massive sell-off.
Stocks rebounded today. The Dow gained 53 points.
Investors are on edge about which way the markets will head after those wild swings last week.
After that dismal jobs report, the Dow started sinking out of the gate.
Stocks plunging today.
Tonight, another Dramamine day on Wall Street. This time, the Dow is up more than 400 points.
Volatility has led many to worry about why trading is experiencing such huge swings back and forth, bigger than Serena Williams' swing on the 10. Okay, I'm going to stop with the sports metaphors, but Louise Story's here to explain, Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
All right, first of all, let's talk about why the stocks are so volatile. What's causing these enormous swings back and forth?
Well, you know, we don't know for sure what's causing it, but there are a lot of analysts out there with theories on what might be causing it. Some point to high-frequency trading, these different computer systems that have become so common now that maybe that has changed the way the market moves. Some people point to ETFs. Those are those exchange-traded funds that track the market. Over $1 trillion have gone into those in the last 10 years. And so that might be affecting the market. Other people point to all that's going on in Europe and say, look, you know, the market's swinging around because everyone's worried about Europe and they're worried about the recession in the U.S. Another theory I've heard, which is very interesting, is that, you know, news and information moves so much faster now than it did a few decades ago. And trading can happen so much faster. Even an ordinary person can just go on E-Trade and click a button and boom, you're done. And so what I found, I went and looked at stock trading data going back all the way to 1962 for the S&P 500. And I looked for every single day at the closing price. And I also looked at the spread between the high and the low.
Wow.
Each day. Yeah, it was a big spreadsheet project. But what I found that was very interesting is, first of all, the intraday trading, the spread between that high and low, it was very volatile in the 70s and the 80s. It was just calm in the 90s. So people are forgetting a little bit that we've had other volatile times. And in fact, the spread in that intraday trading on lower amounts, like 2%, it was much more common to have moves in the 70s than it is now. However, what's new now is it's much more common to have moves of 4% or more. And so that made me think these people who are pointing to the faster news in trading maybe right, because some news now that back in the 70s would have taken 2 days for people to, you know, kind of find out, absorb, and call their broker and trade, that could have been 2 days of 2% moves in the 70s. Now we get all that info, we do all that trading in minutes. And so it could be a 4% change in an hour.
Right. So, I mean, perhaps in this particular, in this day and age, when it's so easy to log onto your computer and to make a massive trade if you want to, maybe it's easier to look at the long term. I mean, how long, let's say, is it a 3-month spread that we should look at if we want to see the shape of the stock market?
Well, you know what people really care about is what ultimately happens to prices, right? And I talked to a lot of investment strategists out there who said, don't worry about the volatility. You know, they pointed out in August, it was so volatile. They said the best thing that a lot of investors could do was just stay put. Now, August did go down a little, but it was 6% down, not down as much as you might have felt like it was going to be on some of those roller coaster days. We're at a similar place in the stock market now as we were a year ago. And so, you know, it could be that even with more volatility, the market's not going to go down. But then I also talked to a lot of other people, including we talked to Robert Shiller. You know, he came up with the phrase irrational exuberance and has pinpointed the housing bubble. And so he's a very smart economist. And he said this volatility really worries him because, you know, in a sense, it can feed upon itself. Fear can feed upon itself. And so, you know, what we're not sure of is if volatility getting more and more and more as it is now, we really have a lot more big swings. If it's going to, over time, make it harder for prices to go up, make it harder for companies to have IPOs in the market and be valued, we're not sure what the repercussions will be.
And really that fear and that emotion that you're talking about is really what Wall Street is all about. I mean, that's what causes these swings is suddenly traders will feel some panic, whether it's founded or not, those phantom swings that we get. And in terms of the effect that Wall Street has on the broader economy, a lot of that is emotional as well.
That's right. Well, the other thing that's different now from the 70s, of course, is that a lot of regular people have a lot of money in the stock market now. You know, it used to be more professional investors, and it's really become democratized. And so it is true when you see the stock market quotes on TV all day long, and you think about your 401k, and it can affect how confident you feel about the economy, and that can feed into whether you go buy a car or not. And of course, what everyone's saying now is to get out of this recession, consumers need to spend. So it could be that this choppiness in the market does translate more into what consumers do in the economy than it did several decades ago.
So is the volatility in the market a reflection of the struggling economy, or is it feeding into what's kind of a vicious cycle that's preventing the economy from really recovering?
We don't really know. But it could be both. I mean, certainly when we had the GDP data coming out, the gross domestic product data that showed us in August that the economy is growing a lot slower than we thought. When that data came out, whenever we have bad economic data, you look at the stock market and it goes right down. So there's definitely some, you know, causation there. What we don't know is exactly what people go do in the regular economy and how they act because of seeing a stock ticker. We don't know exactly how it translates into ordinary people's behavior.
And whether that's a difference between ordinary people who own stocks and ordinary people who don't.
Right. I mean, it could be that someone doesn't own a single share of stock, but when they see that people in the stock market are really panicked and they think the economy is going down, it just makes them more nervous because they say, well, all those people, you know, on Wall Street and traders, you know, they've got something to worry about, so maybe I should be more conservative in my spending.
But the one thing we can predict is that the volatility is not going anywhere. We can still expect pretty big swings.
Well, it does seem to be going up and down and up and down. And one of the things some studies have shown is that even when the stock market recovers and things look better, volatility continues for a while because then it's swinging upwards sometimes quite a lot.
Oh,
and so, you know, it does look like the wild ride will continue.
Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much, Louise.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.